This is Daf HaShavua, Daf Chav Beis in Maseches Ksuvos, Shir number 2. We begin 6 lines before the wide lines at Tana Rabbanan. Tana Rabbanan, the Braisa teaches how Isha Sha'amar Esha Sishani, V'chazra Amar Pruya Ani, Ne'emenes. So the Braisa teaches us, if a woman says, I was married, remember our Mishnah spoke about a woman who said, I was an Esha Sish, but now I'm a Grusha, this is a little bit different. This is a woman who says, I was an Esha Sish, and then she says, you know what? I'm not married, right? So I'm a plit pnuya. I mean, I was never married. So she retracts what she says. So says the bride, she's believed to say her second statement, you know what? I'm really pnuya, I'm really single. Ask the Gemara about Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Yisura. But when she says she's married, she says, I'm Asura. Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Yisura. We had all the way back earlier in the Masechta, what person literally makes themselves into a Davar HaAsura, Chaticha, a piece of meat, literally that's Asura. According to some, it's understood as a Neder. Or perhaps it's a type of Edus. But either way, once you make something usur, you render yourself something forbidden. So how could you now say that now I'm not married? How's that even possible? You can't say this is pesha asar. Why not? Because the pesha asar case that we had before, so that was where I qualified my statement. You know, the woman says, Eish, is this ha-ishi, ha-ishi, but now I'm a grusha, so the first statement was true, just that later on she became a grusha. Here, she's saying, I'm an ashesish, now I'm not an ashesish. I was never an ashesish. I'm a pnuya. So how does she have the right now? This is not pesha asar. This is really, instead of qualifying, this is really a contradiction. So once she states she's an ashesish, how should she have the right to now retract? So Amar Rav Bar Rav Huna, Kigon Shenasna Amasla Divareha. Our case is speaking about when she gives an amasla. Masla is an excuse, is a reason. She gives a rationale to explain a plausible reason why she had said before, I am married. And if that's true, we understand the amasla, we understand why she may have said that. So that's why that's going to be acceptable. Now, what would be the amasla? So she must be giving an excuse. You know, the reason why I said what I said was for the following reason. And the Braisa will elaborate as the Gemara says now. Tanya Rami Hachi, Amra Yeshis Ishani, Bechazva Amma Pruyani, Eno Ne'emenes, but Vimnasta Maslu Devara Ne'emenes, exactly what we said. Generally, she would not be believed. There's no Pesha Asar here because it's a contradiction, not a qualification. But if you give an Amasla, give an excuse why you said you were an Eishes Ish, and now you're retracting and saying you're a Pnuya, so then we'll believe you. Like, Umaisenami Bisha Achas Gedola Shoisa Gedola Benoy. You had a woman who was very chash of a woman, and she was very, very attractive. V'kavtzu aleha b'nei adam l'kacha. Many people wanted to be mekadesh her because she was so beautiful. V'amr lahem mekudeshes ani. So what would she say? No, I'm already married. I'm mekudeshes. You know, leave me alone. L'yomim amda v'kitchas atzma. So sometime afterwards, we saw that she was mekadesh herself. She got married to someone. Amr l'chachamim. Mara islasos kain. How could you do this? You said you were married. Now you're saying, now all of a sudden you're getting married to someone else.
So
she gave an amasla. Exactly what we said. The reason I said I was married before was because I wanted people to leave me alone. There was no one proper for me to marry. Then I saw the people muhuganim for me to marry. So then that's why I got married. So if she gave an amasla as to why she said she was an ashes before, and therefore she is believed to say now she was a pnuya and she can be married. And this halacha was brought up by Rav Acha, Sar Habira. This is a chash of a title that he had, and in the front of the chachamim in Usha, and they said exactly what we mentioned. Imnasna amaslo devarah ne'emenes. He Rav Acha Sar Habira raised this issue with the chachamim in Usha, in the Beis Din, the Sanhedrin. It moved through different places from the Sanhedrin, Yerushalayim, Yavne, eventually was in Usha. So there the Chachamim said, yeah, absolutely, we will believe a woman, even though she's contradicting herself, begins with Eishes Ish, and then changes her claim and says, I'm a Pnuya, as long as she gives a plausible reason, she is believed. Okay, one important point to raise that the Rashba says here, and I quote from the Rashba, when we say a woman says, Eishes ish ani v'chazra v'arma pruyani, she's ne'emenes, so says the Rashba, another Rishonim follow, klomar afilu la'achar k'dei dibur. This is even after k'dei dibur. Klomar, taina hani keres, which is an amasla, she k'dai lisma chalea, as we concluded, Bishanasna Masla Dvarea, Avotoch Kide Dibur, Neemenes, Afal Pisha, Lo Nasna Masla Dvarea. If she said, I'm an Ashes Ish, and within Toch Kide Dibur, within the 3 seconds of Kide Shelas Talmud the Rav, Shalom Alecha Rebbe, she changes her statement and says, no, on the contrary, I am not an Ashes Ish, I'm a Pnuya, should be believed even without an Amasla. The Chiddush of Amasla is that it works even after Kidei Dibur. Dechol Toch Kidei Dibur, says the Rashba, Kidibur Dami, Chutz Me'avodah Zarah V'Kiddushin, those are two exceptions. Okay, very important to keep that in mind. Says the Gemara now, Baminei Shmuel Me'rav. So a similar kind of case. Two lines from the bottom, Shmuel asks Rav the following Shaila. Amra Tamei'ani V'Chazav Amat Tohrani Mahu. A woman says, I'm Tamea, and then she says, I mean, she can't be with her husband, and now she's an Ida, let's say, and then she says, no, I'm Tahora. Right afterwards, she didn't have a chance even to go to the mikvah. What's halacha? Amar lei, af bizu, similar here. Im nasta, turn the page, amas l'dvarel, ne'emenes, she'll be believed. As long as she gives some type of a rationale, she will be believed. Now, what kind of a masler could she potentially give? So we'll see in a moment. Tana, we have a teaching. Tana minei arboim zimnin. So this was once again. It was Shmuel who asked from Rav. If a woman says Tameani and then says quickly Torani, so Rav said to Shmuel, oh, if she gave it Amasa, she's believed. So Tanami Ne Arbaim Zimnin. So Shmuel learned this, reviewed this teaching from Rav 40 times, and he didn't want to forget it. And yet, Vafilu Hachi Lo Avad Shmuel Uvda Benafshe. Nonetheless, even though Shmuel reviewed it and accepted that which Rav said, a case came to him, involved him personally, and he did not follow Rav's psak on the issue. What had happened in the story? So, what was the case? So if you take a look at Rashi, last wide line, she said, I'm Tamea, and then quickly she switched to Torah. And she gave an amasla, upire shemena ad shetavla. And he separated himself from her until she went to mikvah. He did not believe her. Now, what exactly was the case? If you take a look at the second Tosfos down, he tells you from the Yerushalmi, afilu, etc. It says Tosfos, second Tosfos, Rabbeinu Chanan el hevi Yerushalmi. What happened? Shmuel Ba'ilis Dakuki lit to say he wanted to be intimate with his wife. Amalei, she said, Tameani, Ulamachar, Arma Tahorani. And the next day she said, Torah. Now that's an important point. You see, Lamachar, that supports that which the Rashba said. This is not a masla, that this discussion of a masla is not about Tochete Dibor. Even tomorrow is where the amasla is generally acceptable. So what she say? The next day, I'm Tahorani. Amalei, Esmel Tamea. Yomadein Tahora, how's that possible? So Amalei, Esma lo havis bichila. Didn't have the strength, I wasn't feeling well, so that's why I made an excuse, I'm Tamei, I'm Anida, and that's why, because I wasn't interested in intimacy. Kaihi shaita, asa asher l'rav, Amalei, im nasna maslu devar nemenes. That was the case that came up, where Rav says, she's nemenes, and Shmuel did not rely on that psak. So she had said Esma lo havis bichela, and it was that particular case. The Shita Mekubeses gives a little bit more information where she said lo havas bichela ishaisa choshes shum mechush begufa shahaya hatashmish kashela. So not in the mood. So therefore, that was the amasla, and Shmuel did not want to rely on this. The Shita brings, interestingly, another possibility, and he asked the following question. The kasha, I'm recording from the Shita Megubetzes. Lepirish zeh, the ein zu amas letova, a delama lo lemeimar, tmei ani, ilu amra kein lebailo, delo havis pichila, mi havis shmul onisla. Ask the Shita an interesting question. You're telling me that was the case, that Shmuel of Shmuel. Now, Rav said you could have relied on the Amasla. I wasn't where she said, I'm Tamea. You could rely on when she switches to Hora because she gave the Amasla because I wasn't feeling well yesterday. Really? Why couldn't she just tell the truth? You're going to tell me that Shmuel Onisla, Shmuel would have raped her, Shmuel would have violated her against her will if she says I wasn't feeling well? Can't be. So why would she lie to him? So says the Shita, Uvichuvas Aganonim Matsasi Dov Dahachihava. Chuvas Aganonim says this was the story. And why, at the case of the Amasla that Shmuel didn't want to rely on, even though Rav says he could have. Did Shmuel have a regular hoshit koshel bracha leishto bismanchi tahora makabalso, bismanchi nida ain't a makabalto? So the case was that Shmuel used to give her a cup of wine and extend it towards his wife. When she was tahora, she would accept it. When she was nida, she would not accept a cup of wine. And that's the way he would know. That was the sign to know whether she was a nida or not. We have simon heker, a similar idea. So one time he extended his hand to her, and the reason she didn't accept it was because of the kavod of Shmuel's sister who was there. Perhaps she should have been the one to get the cup first out of respect. So Savar Shmuel Tamehi. So that what happened? So Shmuel thought, oh, she's spent. That's why he's not accepting the cup. He took away the table. Amalo, she said, no, Tahorani. That's why I didn't mind, just to cover to your daughter, of your sister. She's the one who should get the cup of wine. So now I understand very well why she said this idea. What does it mean, Tameani? It meant that she didn't accept the cup. That's what it meant. That's what the Shita quotes from the Tshuvas Hagodim. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, second, third line down. Shnai Omer Memeis, Ushnai Omer Lomeis. So here we have two Eidim who say that a man died, so his wife is allowed to remarry. Ushnai Omer Lomeis, no, he didn't die. Shnai Omer Min Hizgarsha, she got divorced. Ushnai Omer two Eidim testify Lo Nizgarsha. Hare Zo Lo Tinase. She's not allowed to marry. We have Trey. Of course she should not marry. But Vimni says, but if she did marry based on that testimony, based on the Eidim who she was following, said that the husband did die, or based on the fact that they claimed she was divorced, Lo Tate says, she doesn't have to leave him. Okay, she's after all, there's what's the case in the previous? In other words, why would we say otherwise? So the Gemara is going to ask Trey. We'll get to that question in a moment. But right now, the Gemara is assuming that she should not marry based on the fact that there are witnesses who say that the husband did not die. But if she did, remarry, we're going to allow her to stay. Of course, as we said, we'll ask the question why that is. Rashi says Lo Tetze, second thin line, Ulakame Parich Treyu Trein into the Gemara. Say news it Treyu Trein. Okay, but at least we have another opinion before we get to the question. The Bryce now brings the opinion of Rabbi Menachem. Rabbi Menachem, Bar Yossi Omer, Teitzei. Okay, so that opinion we're more comfortable with. Even if she remarries, she has to leave her husband. But even he qualifies it. Amar Rabbi Menachem, Bar Yossi, Amos, Ani Omer, Teitzei. When do I say she has to leave the new husband based on the testimony, following the testimony of the Edim who say that her original husband died? Bizman Shabo Edim Vachar Kachnises. That's where the witnesses who testified that the husband did not die came. And then she remarried afterwards. But let's say she remarried on the basis of two Edim who came to court and said the husband died. Okay, so only two Edim here. She remarries, and only afterwards, after she remarried, other Edim came and said, no, the husband did not die. So then, Lotetze, then she does not have to leave her husband. She was allowed to remarry. There's no reason why we should not allow her to stay married. After all, she followed the halacha. So the Gemara says, really, Michti, let's see. Let's analyze this. Utre, utreinin, still, it's two against two. Habal el basham talakai. The one who lives with her, it would be chayv on asham talui. If you look at Rashi, asham talui, ba, four lines down in the thin lines, ba safek kares. When there's a safek kares, so when you do, you violate an iser kares bishogeg, so then you're going to be chayv a carbon chatas. When you're not sure whether you violate, the Gemara has this anida, let's say a person not sure whether or not a woman was anida, she was piercing anida afterwards, and not sure if she was anida during Tashmish, so you bring an Asham Talut. So here also, a person who has beer with this woman is chayv an Asham Talut. You're going to tell me when it's 2-on-2, he's a lattice, they're a lattice, they married. There's a carbon Asham Talut every time they live together. How is it possible for the second husband to stay married to this woman? So Amar Rav Sheshes, Kigon Shanis, no, the case of the Bryce is where she married one of the witnesses who testified that the husband really died. So that is, so how does that change matters? So if you look at Rashi, 5 or 6 lines down into thin lines, Sha'amu Mace. You only bring an Asham Talui where there's a suffix, meaning a suffix. My heart is a pounding that maybe I did something wrong. But this guy is saying, I'm sure, I am certain that the husband died. So if one of the Edim marries her and he's one of the Edim who says, I know for certain the husband died, that's what I'm testifying about. So that's okay. There's no Asham Talui problem. Yes, the Gemara, but he goof up Asham Talai Kaima. What about the woman? She's Chayvan Asham Talai. She doesn't know. Maybe the second husband, the one who married her, who's one of the Edim, is certain. But how does she know? After all, in her mind, there are 2 Edim against 2 Edim. Answers the Gemara, Ba'omeres Barili. She says, no. She's saying, I'm also certain. I also know what has happened. She's also comfortable. And that's why it's acceptable. Rashi says, Ba'omeres Barili. Ainly be no kfi, my heart's not pounding either. I don't have a suffix. But really, I feel a sense of certainty. Ilu haya kayam haya ba. Because why is she so certain? She didn't see the husband dead. The 2 Edim may have, and therefore 1 Edim can marry her. But what did she see? So Rashi says, you know what? Had my husband been alive, he definitely would have come. The Ritva and others are troubled by that. And they claim that, how is that possible? V'hikshu alav, I'm reading from the Ritva. Dinehi deleka asham talu lemisha ein libo nokfo. You'll say, okay, you don't bring an asham talu unless your heart is pounding. Become a kom. Isur doraiso derabonanika. There has to be some type of isur Doraiso Durabanan, this is a woman who has a chazak of being an Eishes Ish. How's it possible? So, Lekach Pirshu, and based on that chazakah, maybe even Karban Chatas is in order. So, Lekach Pirshu, Sheomer is Barili Mamish. She is certain. Maybe she was relying on these Edim specifically. She trusts them. She saw really the husband was dead. Whatever it may be, so she can't officially testify. She's not believed, but or maybe she doesn't know for certain to give that type of testimony. But she's no certainly enough. Barili on her end, not just as Rashi says. Well, husband would have come back. Otherwise, no, there's a certain level of certainty that she has as well. One interesting point, if you turn back to Chav, Beis, Amar Aleph, if you look at the bottom, towards the bottom, this may be the Tosus Yishon and in the small print, but it's the last Tosus Minai, not the second to last, but the last. So Tosus says like this, Tema, Matzarach, this going back to the concept of Pesha Asa Pesha here to begin with. So, Tema, Matzarach Kra, we had a pasuk. We said, "Oh, esbitina sati lishazeh." That's a source for that. The father is believed, and the father is believed to say his daughter is married. Remember, we said peshasa. Maybe I don't need the pasuk as a svara, but the pasuk's there to tell us that the father is believed to say that his daughter is married, etc. So tepuk lei. What do you need a pasuk for? Tepuk lei dinemanu. You know why your father should be believed to say my daughter is married to this person? Hovil v'yadol kacha, because it's within his power to be mekadesh, and that's a general rule you have at the beginning of Maseches Ginnon on Beis Amid Beis as well. That the concept of biyod ne'emanos is very often connected to biyado. My ability and belief to say that this particular barrel of wine has had truma separated from it. Why? Because it's within my hand to be able to separate it from it. So here too, he should be he's ne'eman biyado lekacho. B'yesh lives a kedamah v'yesh yochalin, as we have towards the end of Baba Basra. Bal sha'am agerashtis ishti ne'eman. Husband is believed to say, I divorced my wife. Why? Ho will be under the gasha, because it's within his hands and power and authority to divorce her. So why would I need a pasuk at all? It should be obvious. If a father, and there's a girl, is a ketana, and the father therefore has the authority to marry her off, or even when she's a nara, just not when she's a bogeres. So after 12 and a half, you're right, not. But before that, yes. So why do I need a pasuk? So v'yesh lomar, d'hacha ein biyado kol kach. You know why? It's not really so much biyado. Maybe no one's going to be interested in marrying her. That's why I need the pasuk. Esbitina satelisha zeumiu im amar albito bogeres kidashtia kishaisa nara oktana. But if you said it about his daughter, when now she's past 12 and a half, and he testifies, you know, when she was in nara oktana a few years back, I married her off. Neredeinu ne'eman. Then he wouldn't be Neman at all, the Hashtain Biyado Kah, because now it's not within his power at all to testify about what happened in the past at a moment where it's too late, which is a bogus, you don't have Biyado, so maybe you would lose your Neman.